So this morning, we're going to open God's Word and we're going to look at the topic of forgiveness this morning. Something that's kind of been on my heart over the last few weeks. We've had some good teaching over the last few weeks from our brother Jürgen Schultz, as well as Carl DeRosio up at camp, and our brother Trevor Campster was here as well, and they had some really good thoughts about fellowship and the love of God and how we can be together as one. And one of the things I was thinking of was forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I had two brothers growing up, and I was the oldest, and they liked to push buttons. Many of you who have siblings will probably know that siblings like to push buttons. And so forgiveness is a hard thing to do. To forgive someone when they've done something to you that's wronged you, that's hurt you, that's maybe emotionally scarred you, or anything like that. It's hard to forgive somebody. But hopefully today, by looking at God's Word, we can see how we can do that and how the Lord can give us strength and help to do that when the time does arise that we do need to forgive somebody. So if you just want to turn in your Bibles, we just have one verse, key verse to look at this morning in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9. Is this one verse that I was thinking about, and it will kind of take over the heading for the whole message, Lord willing. So Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9 says this: "To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." Once again, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Let's just ask the Lord for his help this morning. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth, Lord, and that as we open it this morning, that you would help us to understand what you are saying through your word. Lord, I just ask that it would not be my words, but your words spoken this morning, and that the words would be coming off the pages of our Bibles and implanting deep in our hearts this morning about the forgiveness you offer each one of us and how we can offer that to one another and to others as well. And so we just give you thanks this morning for your word. Thank you for this time. We can do so freely in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had someone hurt you or someone you really love be hurt in such a way that it seems like you could never forgive them? What about on the other side of that? Have you ever done something that really hurt somebody that you love, or someone that you know that someone else loves? We're hoping to look at that this morning, about forgiveness, how we can forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ, how we can forgive others, and most importantly, how the Lord Jesus has offered forgiveness to us. So, Lord willing, this morning we'll be looking at three key points. The first point is, where does the idea of forgiveness come from, and what does it look like? The second one is asking and receiving forgiveness. And the third one is forgiveness between believers and why it's important. So our scripture today in Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, tells us that mercy and forgiveness are traits of the Lord our God. That's something that's inherent in him. We know many verses about mercy and lots of verses about forgiveness. And that's something that we know that our Lord is. And I would suggest to you this morning that the act of forgiveness is something that is God's idea. Something that he came up with. I don't think it's something that the world has come up with. I think it was in place before we were even here on this earth. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And so before the foundations of the world, God had a plan of salvation to redeem his people back to himself. And part of that plan was forgiveness. Fine's dictionary says the primary definition of forgiveness is to send forth or to send away. I would say this meaning has two sides to it. To forgive debt is one thing that's talked about in the Bible. There's parables and stories about people who owe a lot of money, and then they just come in and they forgive the debt, and it's canceled, and that's like it never happened. That's one way we can look at forgiveness. And then the other way is regarding sin, the forgiveness of sin. And that's something that we all have sitting in this room this morning. The one common denominator that each one of us has is we were born into this world with sin. We all know what debt is in one way or another, whether you've experienced it personally or you've been listening to the news and you see that governments and cities and things like that are running massive debts. You're probably familiar with debt in some way. And when the Bible uses the same word in there for forgiveness of debt, it just means that it's canceled, it's put out, and it's like it was never there. And like you said already this morning, sin is the common denominator, and that's what separates us this morning from a holy and righteous God. We heard this morning in the first meeting about how while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And just a little further down in that, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." So we know this morning that we're all sinners, myself included. I'm no different because I'm standing behind this wood here. I'm just the same as everybody else. And as Paul would say in his epistles, that he was the chief of sinners, he was the worst. And we all know the life of Paul. I think probably agree that his life was probably better lived than at least mine. I know that for sure. But he said he was the chief of all sinners. Vine goes on to say in his definition of forgiveness that the actions of forgiving sin are twofold. In the latter respect, the verb, like its corresponding noun, firstly signifies the remission of the punishment due to sinful conduct. The deliverance of the sinner from the penalty divinely, and therefore righteously imposed. Secondly, it involves the complete removal of the cause of the offense. Such remission is based upon vicarious, propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. When we're talking about forgiveness of sins, we see that there's forgiveness from the punishment due to sinful conduct, and secondly, we see the complete removal of the cause of the offense, which is sin. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And so we know, because of God's word, that he has removed this sin that's in our lives. If we put our faith and trust in him and trust him for the forgiveness of our sins, he has taken our sins and he's put them as far as the east is from the west. Now, we pretty much all understand that here. I have a 4-year-old son, and we're trying to work through the map and stuff, and it's pretty difficult sometimes. The capital of BC is Ottawa, and who knows? It's all over the place. But east and west, it seems like it meets, right? Like north and south, there's a north and south pole, and, you know, and we're trying to work through that. But we know here that the east is from the west is an infinite thing. You can never, if you're going east, you can never meet west. And if you're going west, you can never meet east. And so we know that to be true this morning, that the Lord Jesus has taken our sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west. Scripture also tells us that God is always ready to forgive. In Psalm 86, verse 5, it says this, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He doesn't withhold his forgiveness from anybody. Forgiveness is available to everyone. But the key to that is the last part of that verse. It says, to all those who call upon you. All throughout the scripture, we see the forgiveness of God. We see in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, all the times God promised them land or guidance in the wilderness or food to eat or victories over the enemy. We see that the children of Israel were constantly going against God and what he had already planned for them, yet God, through his mercy and his forgiveness, forgave them and continued to lead them and guide them and win victories and provide food for them and get them to the places they needed to go. Makes me think again of that first verse we read, though we have rebelled against him, our Lord God, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Psalm 85 verse 2 says this, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people and you have covered all their sin. We see that the forgiveness of sin continues outside of the Old Testament, even when the Lord Jesus was born and he was walking here on this earth in his earthly ministry. There was forgiveness of sin to sick people. There was forgiveness of sin to the brokenhearted. There was forgiveness of sin to the widows. There was forgiveness of sin to the prostitutes. There was forgiveness of sin to a man who could not walk. We all remember that story quite well. They had his four friends. They took this man who couldn't walk. They went up on the roof and they lowered him into the place where Jesus was because there was no room to get in through the regular door. And when he got down there, the Lord Jesus was healing all these people. And the first thing he says, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and go home. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they got all mad and they said, well, no one can forgive sin but God. And then he said, is it easier his sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say, take up your bed and walk? And we know that it would be easier to say your sins are forgiven because we can't see that that actually happened. Whereas if he's walking, you can see that what happened was true. And so we see in the New Testament that there was all kinds of stories about the Lord Jesus forgiving people of their sin. In that story there, it says, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Matthew 9, verse 2. We also think, too, of the time when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he forgave those who were in the process of putting him there and making sure that he died. Luke 23:34 says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and they cast lots. What an example of the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. Part of the reason that got me thinking about forgiveness is some of you may have heard of the tragic things that happened in South Carolina. And I don't watch the news, I don't have cable, I don't have anything like that, but sometimes I see the odd thing on the internet or whatever, and I did see a video of this man who had done this offense with his two prison guards in some secure place somewhere that the family and friends of the victims were able to see him on a TV. And he was able to hear them and they were able to hear him. He didn't say a word. But all the family and friends came in and they were crying because they lost their loved ones. And every single one of them told them that they forgave him. They forgave him for what he did. And I don't know, I was thinking about that. I don't know, that would be really hard to do. But with the help of the Lord, we can do that. And the Lord Jesus is a great example of that. So how can we not forgive others knowing what has been forgiven us? And that brings us to our second point, asking and receiving forgiveness. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ extends His forgiveness to us and is always ready to forgive, but we have to be willing to be forgiven. We have to ask Him for His forgiveness and admit that we have offended a holy and a righteous God. We have to check our pride, and we have to be humbled before Him. 1 John 1:9, very familiar verse, says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's this principle of confessing our sins, admitting that we're wrong, that I find so hard for me to do. For me to ask for forgiveness from God, for the things that I do that I know I shouldn't be doing, when they seem so little and insignificant and everything else seems to be going pretty well, it's hard to ask for forgiveness, true forgiveness, and ask that He would change my heart. It's hard to ask for forgiveness from others as well, because our pride creeps in. And we say, well, we're not really that bad, but, you know, because of whatever circumstances may come, we feel that we maybe are better, and so we don't want to forgive. I know that happens in my life. We don't want to ask for forgiveness. I find this happening a lot more often now that I'm married and have children. It's a thing that I've kind of made a point of for myself to, if I've done something that maybe upsets my wife that I don't think is really a big deal, but maybe she's a little bit upset by it, I need to ask for forgiveness. If I've done something like not kept a promise to my kids for playing baseball or playing a game with them, to ask for their forgiveness. And when you have a family of your own, you find these things come up more and more, and you have to, even though, you know, you've never had this problem before, you have to ask for forgiveness. And much like having your sins forgiven, when you receive forgiveness from someone that you have wronged, you can feel the burden you were carrying lifted off your shoulders. When they truly forgive you, it's gone, it's forgotten about. And that's a great example that we can learn from the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus. I think we're all pretty good at forgiving people when they ask. I know one of the things in marriage counseling that we went through was when you do wrong someone and you say you're sorry, to say I forgive you in response to that, instead of saying, oh no, that's okay. Okay, we're fine. No, it's okay. But to actually think about it and willfully and consciously say, I forgive you for whatever it was. And I think we're pretty good at saying that, but do we really forgive like the Lord Jesus? Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says this, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And so when our sins are forgiven, when we come to the Lord Jesus, when we confess our sin, and He forgives us our sin, it's gone. He remembers it, willfully remembers it, no more. And that's something that we can't do. It's so hard to forget those things that really hurt us really deeply. I know in my life, whether at home or at work or among my brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes I say, well, I forgive you for something, insert anything there. And I say it with words, but in my heart, I haven't released them from the offense they have committed against me. And I'll hold it in. And that's not how God operates. As we read in Jeremiah, He will remember them no more, never to come up again in conversation, never to be held over our heads, deliberately forgotten by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in order for us to come even close to that, we need to seek the Lord in this matter. When we are forgiving someone, we need to ask the Lord to give us His strength to put away forever those things that offended us. And just as a side note here, as a parent, I'm a pretty young parent. I have young children, so lots of you have lots of older children. It's been a lot longer journey than I have. But to admit that you're wrong and ask for forgiveness in front of your children, to your wife or to anyone else that you're in contact with, even admitting to them that you've wronged them in any way, is a great habit to get into, to show them that we all need forgiveness, even in the little things in life. I know a few weeks ago, our brother Jürgen Schultz was talking about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. But just at the beginning there, in chapter 15 of Luke, verse 11, it says this: "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions on prodigal living." And then we know what happened after that. That there was a famine, and he ran out of money, and he ran out of food, and he ended up with the pigs. And it was not a good situation. And this whole time, the father is waiting for him to come back. And he's waiting for him to come back, and he's waiting for him to come back. And finally in verse 20, we'll go back a few verses to verse 18. It says, "I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands.'" And so although he didn't say this directly to his father, this was his plan, to say it to his father. And in his heart, he realized that he needed forgiveness. And so he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. And so we see that the father was ready with open arms to embrace this son who would come back and ask for forgiveness. Now the other half of this parable is the other son who was standing there and who had been with the father the whole time. He didn't think he needed forgiveness. He thought he was okay the way he was. And I know in my life that sometimes is the case. You just think, I'm pretty good. We're going to church, got a good job, things are going pretty good, and I don't really need to ask for forgiveness because things are going so good. But we always need to be asking for forgiveness from the Lord, from others around us, to anyone that we offend or hurt, anything like that. And this son, he couldn't quite understand that. And the third and final point that we'll touch on this morning is the importance of forgiveness between believers in the Lord Jesus. Our brother Carl DeRosio touched on a lot of these up at camp, the one another's and being together. And we've been hearing a lot about this. And I think it's really important not to have anything between brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Things that can drive us apart, things that division and strife and all these kind of things. And I think Carl touched on it up at camp, and just being open and honest about the things that we're struggling with in our lives. And I really appreciate being able to talk to people here at Westview about the things that I'm struggling with. Struggling with preparing for this message, or struggling with two young children and how to discipline them properly and how to bring them up in the way of the Lord. And it's good to be able to talk and understand and know these things. But those things can't happen if there's unforgiven things in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says this, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Matthew 18 is the chapter where it talks about if you have some dealing with a sinning brother or sister in the Lord Jesus. But right after that section in verse 21 and verse 22, it says this, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" And so that's something that, you know, in baseball, there's three strikes and you're out. I don't think we can hold that same approach with forgiveness. We need to be willing to forgive no matter what. And sometimes that's hard, and I know I've gone through it in my own life, and I'm still working through it in some things in my life as well. So what I just wanted to leave with you this morning was just a thought about the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave so much. As we heard this morning in the first meeting, He came down from the glories of heaven, and He came to this earth, and He lived amongst us, and He did wonders and miracles before us, and went all the way to the cross to die for our sins. And we ask, how can we forgive someone who's hurt someone we loved so much? Well, God loved the Son so much, and He loved us so much that He gave His Son for us. And I don't know, it's hard to understand just exactly how far the Lord Jesus went. It's beyond our comprehension. But because of that, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, should be able to offer forgiveness to anyone around us, because we've been forgiven so much. We have no right to be forgiven the sin that's in our lives, the things that we've done in our past, the things that we don't even know we're going to do in the future. We have no right to be forgiven any of that, because we are sinful people and we've offended God. And the one that He loves so much, His Son, because of our sin, we put Him on the cross. And He died so that we could be free. And not only that, He died so that we could be free, we could be brought into the family of God and have fellowship with one another. And so we just thank the Lord this morning for His Son and the forgiveness that He's given us, even though we don't even come close to deserving any of it. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We thank You for the forgiveness that You've offered to each and every one of us. We pray, Lord, that if there be anyone here this morning that doesn't know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus, that they would know that they are forgiven beyond anything that they've ever done, if they're just willing to bow the knee and say, "Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul." We thank You, Lord, that You saved us. We thank You, Lord, that You continue to work in us. We thank You, Lord, that we can come to You with anything and talk to You and confess to You the things in our lives that hinder us from having a right relationship with You. We thank You, Lord, this morning for the family of God. We thank You that we each bear one another's burdens in prayer, physically, and other ways as well, Lord. We just thank You for this local assembly here. Thank You for the love of Your people. And we just ask, Lord, that as we go from here, that same love that we have towards our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus would be shed abroad in the world, and that people would know that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven them all of their sins if they just put their faith and trust in Him. And we just give You thanks, Lord, for all these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.